Exodus chapter 2. And our text for this morning is the verse 15. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Moses knew that God had chosen him and would use him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Acts chapter 7, verse 25, for he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. But as we saw in our study last week, while Moses knew that God would use him to lead Israel out of the house of bondage, yet Moses took matters into his own hands. And on a given day, when he went to visit his brethren, the children of Israel, he slew an Egyptian and buried him in the sand. That was a grave mistake, because God would not bring deliverance to Israel in that way. Neither had the time for Israel's deliverance come. Moses, as we saw last week, had gone ahead, had run ahead of the will of God. Moses may have had a great zeal to do the Lord's work and to deliver Israel, but I'm afraid his zeal was not according to wisdom. The Lord had a number of lessons to teach his servant before he would be used to lead Israel out of Egypt. Lessons that would not be taught in any earthly school of learning. Instead, a school in which God would be the teacher and Moses would be the only student. And that school would be located in the land of Midian. And it would be 40 years in that school before Moses would graduate and become Israel's leader and emancipator. And in the verses we have read this morning, there in Exodus 2, we see in Moses the character and the caliber of a man that God will take up and use in his service. That's what I want to look at today, the man whom God will use. And so let us now look at Moses, the man that God would use, and see how the Lord prepared his servant for the great task of delivering Israel out of Egypt. I want us, first of all, in this portion of Scripture, to consider Moses and his courage. Moses and his courage. We know that the Lord makes no mistakes when choosing a man to do the work that God wants done. He will, of course, always choose the right man. And when 2 to 3 million of his people, the children of Israel, needed to be delivered out of Egypt, God chose Moses for that task. And we see that Moses was a man of courage. And he certainly needed to be a courageous man. When you think of how he served the Lord for 40 years in the wilderness as he led the children of Israel out and led them through the wilderness and brought them to the edge of the land of promise. We see how courageous he was in this incident here before us. You look there in verse 16. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. That is, drove the 7 daughters away. And they came and drew water and filled. They drove them away. And Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. So there we see that Moses was a courageous man. When he faced the shepherds who had driven away the priest's daughters, and they had come, the shepherds had come and watered their flocks, but Moses stood up to those shepherds. There we see Moses and his courage. And as we look closer at this incident, we see, first of all, Moses was a man of principle. He was a man of principle. Having fled to the land of Midian, Moses saw an injustice being done to the daughters of the priest of Midian. We've just read about it there in verse 17. It was an injustice done to them. Moses felt that he could not stand idly by and do nothing about what he saw. So he went to the aid of those young women. And Moses showed that he was a man of principle on this occasion, because he didn't like to see wrong being done. And he came to the aid and the assistance of those who were being wronged. He was a man of principle. And isn't that what happened? We read about and studied last week in Acts chapter 7. When he went to visit his brethren, he saw wrong being done to one of his brethren by an Egyptian. And Moses felt that he couldn't stand by and see a wrong being done and not do anything about it. And so he came to the defense of his brother, one of the children of Israel. And here once again, we see that he comes to the aid and to the defense of those who were being wronged. Moses was a man of principle. Isn't that the type of person the Lord wants in his service? A man or a woman of principle? The person who will always stand on the side of right and will always stand against that which is wrong and evil. Our reformers and martyrs were men of principle. They would rather suffer imprisonment, depredation, and even death, being burned at the stake. They would rather choose that. Because what they believed in, they believed was right. And what they stood against, they believed was wrong. Namely, the errors of the Church of Rome. Oh, they were given opportunity to recant and save their lives. But they chose rather to be burned at the stake because of what they believed. And what they believed was right. They believed what God had taught and what God said in His Word. And they believed what Rome taught was wrong. They were men of principle. Just like Peter and John, if we read there in Acts chapter 4, there in Acts 4 and verse 18, and they called them that had been arrested for preaching Christ. And they were called by the authorities and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. That's what they were commanded to do. Now look at verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Notice what they said. Whether it be right in the sight of God to do what you want us to do. You want us not to go out and don't want us to speak in the name of Christ. That would not be right in the sight of God. So what did Peter and John do? They did what was right. And they went on preaching Christ and preaching the word. They were men of principle and conviction. So anyone who is called into the service of the Lord must always be prepared to do right, no matter what the cost may be. As Paul said, or we read, and Peter said in Acts 5, verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men. They were men of principle. Unlike many of the, well, they're given the name of being tele-evangelists. Many of that crowd today are not men of principle. They're charlatans. When you think of how they milk the people of their money, and they use that money to buy their flashy cars, their private jets. When they go anywhere, they stay in the most expensive hotels. And there the ordinary man in the street are feeding them with their money, and they take the money and they use it to live a life of luxury. I often say it's a far cry from a stable, isn't it? Christ was born into a poor family. That's the life He lived. He who was rich became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich. And we're not talking about the riches of this world. We're talking about spiritual riches, and we're talking about heaven. That's what makes us rich. But those charlatans that we hear about and read about in these days, they're not men of principle at all. But God will choose a man of principle who will always do right to serve him. Moses, as we have seen here, was a man who always wanted to do right and took a stand on the side of right against that which was wrong. Not only was Moses a man of principle, he was a man of persistence. Again, in Acts 7 and verse 24, we read, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel, and seeing one suffer wrong, he defended him. But we know how his brethren did not accept Moses as their defender. He supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. He thought that Israel, the children of Israel, would understand that Moses would be their deliverer. But it says, but they understood not. And after he slew the Egyptian, he went out the next day and rebuked one of his brethren for fighting or arguing with another one of his brethren. And they rebuked him and chased him from them. And we read that then Moses fled to the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. And those priests, the daughters of the priest, came to draw water, to water their flocks. And the shepherds came and drove those women away. I think of it. Moses could easily have said, well, I'm not going to get involved again. I've learned my lesson. I'm not going to intervene in any wrongdoing that I may see. He could have said, never so long as I live will I interfere in another quarrel. I've experienced two occasions when my help was not appreciated. Therefore, I'm not going to intervene anymore. That's what he could have said. But he didn't. And here, wrong was done to those seven daughters. And Moses could not stand back and witness the wrong being done to them. And so what did he do? He went to their aid, as he had done previously in Egypt, when he had gone to the aid of one of his brethren when he was being attacked by the Egyptian. There you have the persistence of Moses. He went to the aid of those women, and he did get involved, and he did persist in seeking to stand up against that which was wrong. One who will persist in the work, one who will persist in standing up for right, will always fight against wrong, is the one whom God will use in his service and in his work. Even when his help is not appreciated, Very often that happens in the Lord's work. In the Lord's work, the servant of the Lord can do things and will labor and do all for the Lord as he helps others, and after a while discovers that that help is not appreciated. What does he do? Does he say, well, I'm not going to help anybody again? That's it. They don't want my help. I'm not going to help anyone again. No, no. No, that's not what a true servant of the Lord will do. That's not the attitude that a true servant of the Lord will adopt. We see there Moses was driven away by his own brethren. But that didn't stop Moses coming to the aid of those seven daughters of the priest. His help may not have been appreciated before, but that didn't matter to Moses. He was going to help again anyway. He was going to persist in the work of helping others. And that's the person the Lord will use in his work. Someone who, no matter how often they are knocked down or discouraged or even defeated, will get up and get on with the work again. And will get on with the work of helping, whether their help is appreciated or not. That's the kind of man that Moses was. Paul said in Ephesians 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto, listen, with all perseverance and supplication for all things. Moses was a man who persevered. The servant of the Lord will be a man or a woman who will persevere, who will go on as they have gone on before. Because what they do it for the Lord. As the chorus says, I'll do it all for Jesus. I'll do it all for Jesus. He's done so much for me. And even though Moses was driven back before when he came to the aid of his brethren, when he saw a wrong being done, he took up that cause for right and stood against those who were doing wrong. He persevered. He persisted. That's the sort of a man Moses was. And didn't Moses need that persistence and that spirit of perseverance whenever he was leading Israel through the wilderness? How often was Moses discouraged in the wilderness by the children of Israel? How often they criticized him and stood against him. But Moses went on. He persisted in the work that God had called him to do. So we see that he was a man of principle. He was a man of persistence. He was also a man of promptness. Look at the words of verse 17 there in Exodus 2. And the shepherds came and drove them away. Drove the seven daughters away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. The moment that Moses saw wrong being done, it says Moses stood up and helped the seven daughters. There you see, first of all, his haste. Because the word stood, it says in Moses, stood up, that word stood there means to spring to your feet. So there's Moses, he saw what was being done, and immediately Moses sprung up to his feet, stood up on his feet, and went and helped the daughters. There you have his haste. Just as before, again, back in Egypt, when he saw what was being done to one of his brethren, he went immediately to his aid. He came quickly to the aid of one of his brethren, and he came quickly to the aid of those seven daughters. Stood up on his feet and went to their aid. And what a valuable characteristic this is, to be found in any child of God, especially in the Lord's work. It is good when a man sees something that needs to be done that he springs to his feet and gets it done. I have heard of people described as wheelbarrow Christians. They're called wheelbarrow Christians. You know what you have to do with a wheelbarrow? You have to push it all the time. And sometimes God's people need to be pushed all the time to do things. That was not Moses. Moses saw something needed to be done, and he sprang to his feet and did it. He stood up. Reminded of the words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it. What you see needs to be done, do it. That was a characteristic of Moses. And how it was that characteristic stood him in good stead when he led the children of Israel through the wilderness. There are many things needed to be done, and Moses saw to it that it was done. As well as his haste, we're told he stood up, he sprang to his feet. As well as his haste, you have his help. Isn't that what it says in verse 17? And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. We've seen his haste. Now you see his help. He stood up to those shepherds who had bullied those girls when they came to water their father's flock. He stood up to them, and he did so immediately, for he sprang to his feet. He stood up and helped them. That's the kind of man Moses was. He was a helper. And when it comes to the Lord's work, there's always room for helpers. As we read in 1 Corinthians 12, and there in verse 28, there Paul speaks about those involved in the Lord's work. And we read in verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 12, and God hath set some in the church. He has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles, the gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, or languages. They're languages that were languages that was needed at that time for the apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel. There weren't any kind of heavenly language. They were languages used to preach the gospel, to enable the apostles to preach the gospel to all of different languages. They needed that gift. But the point is this. Along with the apostles and the prophets and the teachers, the Lord has set in the church helps. That's what we have in the verse 28. Helps. Moses was a helper. That's the kind of man the Lord will use in his work. One who's ready to help. And Moses stood to his feet and went and helped those girls. And the Lord called Moses and made him a leader in Israel. And what did Moses do for 40 years? Why? He helped the children of Israel. He helped the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. He was a helper. And just as he helped those women, so Moses helped the children of Israel. And when you think of Moses, and he stood up against those shepherds, we talked about Moses and his courage. Well, there you see the courage of Moses. One man against those shepherds, Moses stood up and came to the defense of those daughters. You know something? In the Lord's work, courage is most definitely needed. You need courage to stand for the Lord. Remember what the Lord told Joshua when he became Israel's leader after Moses went home to glory? What did the Lord say to Joshua? He said, I have now commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and be of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Servant of the Lord always needs courage. That is, courage to do what's right. Courage to stand against public opinion. Courage to stand against those who would criticize him as he does the work of God. You recall that time, those years ago, when as a church we went downtown to the theater and protested outside the theater against that blasphemous play, Jesus Christ Superstar. We took our stand there. All kinds of evil things were said against us. But we needed the courage. We needed the courageous to stand up for the Lord. And you don't need to look at the local paper, the Port Hope Evening Guide, and the letter section, and the things that were said about us. But that doesn't matter. Better to obey God than men. And we need courage to stand for the Lord. And in being courageous, that involves being helpful. We can help practically and be helpers prayerfully. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 11, Paul says, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us." So we see Moses and those lessons that he learned there in Midian, and how he came to the aid of those girls, and how that attitude was used by the Lord when he led Israel through the wilderness. He was a man of courage. We notice also that Moses was a man who was content. He was a man who was content. We read in verse 15 of Exodus 2. "Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well." Those words, "he dwelt in the land of Midian and he sat down by a well," would be words that would indicate to us that Moses was content. Indeed, we are told that he was content. Look at verse 21. "And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter." So there you have Moses and his contentment. First of all, we see Moses by the well. We're told that when he fled to the land of Midian, he sat down by a well. It is interesting the number of times in Scripture where we read about the Lord meeting with individuals by a well. Two occasions in the life of Hagar, the Lord met with her by a well. Genesis 16, verses 7 and 14. Genesis 21, verse 19. That's where the Lord met with Hagar, by a well. You come over into the New Testament, and there in John chapter 4, the Lord met with the woman of Samaria by a well, Jacob's well. And when the Lord met with Hagar by a well, he had things to teach her. When the Lord met with the woman of Samaria by a well, he taught her truth as well. And often when the Lord met with individuals by a well, it was to teach them and to teach them certain things. And here you have Moses And he sat down by a well. And as he's sitting by a well, he came to the aid of those seven daughters. He learned that when he sought to do right and stand up against wrong, that the Lord would be his help. That was one of the things that Moses learned there at that well. One of the things the Lord taught him at the well. He's there, and the daughters come to water their flock, and then the shepherds come to the same well, and they chase away the daughters. But the Lord came to, or Moses came to their aid, and in turn the Lord came to the aid of Moses. How could one man stand against a group of shepherds? We're not told how many shepherds there were, but we know there were more than one. But he came and he stood up against the shepherds. One man against many. And that's what Moses learned by the well. He learned the help of the Lord. The Lord helped him when he stood up against those men. He may have been in the minority physically, but he was in the majority spiritually. Why? Because he had the Lord on his side. What do we read there? In the book of Psalms, in Psalm 91. In Psalm 91, we read, David said in Psalm 91 and verse 2, verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. All right? Now you go down to the verse 7. And David's able to say, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. So when you have the Lord on your side, you're in the majority. Physically, you may be in the minority. But when you have the Lord on your side, the Lord will be your help. And Moses learned that at the well, when he faced up to those shepherds, he learned that the Lord would come to his aid when he would be standing up for that which was right. And the Lord will always be your aid. He'll always be your help when you're standing up for that which is right. Psalm 121 verse 2 says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And Moses, no doubt, was thankful that he had learned that lesson by the well, that when he faced those shepherds, the Lord came to his aid and enabled him to deal with the shepherds and help the seven daughters of the priest. Because Moses would need that help in leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. He would need that help, all right. And where did he learn it? He learned it at the well. Moses was not only content by the well, Moses was also content in his work. We're told that Moses dwelt with his father in law. And he kept the flock of his father-in-law. We read there in the chapter 3 and verse 1, when Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. We're told that he was content to dwell with the man. And dwelling there, he took one of the daughters to be his wife and was blessed with a son. And he also kept the flock. Moses became a shepherd. And I thought to myself, well, isn't that interesting? He became the shepherd of a flock of animals. And he would do that for 40 years. And then he would become the shepherd of another flock, namely the children of Israel, as he shepherded that flock through the wilderness. Now he's a shepherd of sheep. Whatever lessons he would learn shepherding sheep, he would be able to use those lessons when he will be shepherding the children of Israel, bringing them through the wilderness. You think of it, that was quite a change for Moses. He had, for 40 years, been brought up in a palace. He had everything he wanted there. He had all the luxuries of palace life. And now where is he? He's a shepherd in the backside of the desert. And yet what did we read? We read that he was content. Even though Genesis 46 verse 34 tells us that Egyptians looked upon shepherds as an abomination. And so there's Moses from dwelling in a palace. He's in the backside of the desert. He's looking after a flock. And he's content. That's the man that God will use. Wherever the Lord places him, wherever the Lord leads him to serve the Master, that man will be content. That's the man the Lord will use in his service. And sometimes, you know, in the Lord's work, you feel as if you are in the backside of the desert. That's where Moses was, and he was content to be there. He was content in the backside of a desert, and for 40 years he would soon be in a wilderness. He learned the lesson, how to live in the backside of the desert. That prepared him to live for 40 years in the wilderness. So we have seen Moses being content by the well. Moses was content with his work. And Moses was content in the wilderness. We're told again in the verse 3, or chapter 3 and verse 1, that Moses led the flock to the backside of the desert. Arthur W. Pink, the great Bible commentator, Arthur Pink said this about this particular location. The heart that has found itself in the presence of God at the backside of the desert has right thoughts about everything. The heart that has found itself in the presence of God at the backside of the desert has right thoughts about everything. In other words, what Pink was saying was that there's nothing glamorous about being on the backside of the desert. And then he went on to say, in a word, everything is set aside save the stillness and light of the divine presence. God's voice alone is heard. His light is enjoyed, His thoughts received. And what Pink was saying was that while Moses was on the backside of the desert, he was alone with God. And that is where many lessons are learned and taught by the Lord Himself, when that Christian or that believer is alone with God. Moses was alone with God in the backside of the desert. And there's nothing recorded about what God said to him for those 40 years in the desert, until the Lord spoke to him out of the burning bush. But sure, isn't that the way it often is? It's only when you're alone with God that nobody else hears, nobody else knows what the conversation is, that God will teach His people valuable lessons. When there's just the believer and the Lord. That's the way it was with Moses. And then came the day when God spoke, and the time had now come for Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt. 40 years after, Moses, you remember, took matters into his own hands. We'll be looking at that meeting between Moses and the Lord in the backside of the desert, Lord willing, next week. When Moses saw the bush burn, yet it was not consumed, and God spoke to his servant out of the burning bush. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this morning. Let's bow in prayer. O loving and gracious eternal God, we come to Thee in the Saviour's name. Lord, we thank Thee that Thou art our great teacher. And often, Lord, that's where Thou dost teach even the best of lessons, when we're alone with Thee. Even as Moses was alone with God in the desert. Lord, be pleased to use us in Thy service. May we have the character, Lord, that Moses had, that we'll always want to stand up for right and take our stand against that which is wrong. So, Lord, write Thy word upon our hearts today and be with us now as we leave the Lord's house. Grant us each one traveling mercy. May Thy good hand be upon us for good, and in Thy will, Lord, return us to Thy house this evening, that we might learn more about the Saviour. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.